This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 37 for January 8th, 2005, CES. Skype, because we're all over the place. John C. Dvorak, who never left home, is here from his home in Northern California. He's the virtual CES columnist. Kevin Rose and David Prager both went to Las Vegas, but you guys are home now?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. And so the one remaining fella who is still in Vegas, in fact, he's right now wending his way to the McCarran Field, the airport, and as soon as he gets there, he's going to get on Skype and join us, is Patrick Norton, who is down there doing a number of episodes, I think three episodes of his show for Ziff Davis Digital Life.
He's going to be on the airport Wi-Fi?
Yeah, we'll see how that works. So, David, did you and Kevin do a system down there, or any, or Dig Nation, or any podcast?
So, we went there, and we did a live recording of Dig Nation.
Which from where?
From the Central Hall on the broadcast.
Oh, platform. Come on. Not from Slots of Fun?
No. Slots of Fun would have been cool. And then actually, we got another big thing going on right now. We had Han Choi and Andrew Han and Diane Mazzotta and a few other people out there working to put together a special on CES called In Digital, Your Life in Gear. That's the name right now. It's kind of a little pilot episode of what we think might turn into a product show. But
that's exciting.
Yeah,
that's a lot really of good news.
Yeah, that's really excited about it. And so a lot of the folks that did Fresh Gear, and then actually a couple of the folks that did some of the filter stuff at G4, at least some of the producers and stuff.
Are they all gone from G4?
To the best of my knowledge, yes. Wow. I know that like there's no lab. There's no lab of any kind at G4
anymore. So you just basically hired the lab.
Well, I don't know if we didn't hire them or didn't hire them yet. Basically,
hire's kind of a fancy word.
Hire is what will happen when we start paying them, when we ultimately monetize the whole
basically,
thing.
Basically, so, everybody here is working for free too. So,
although Han Choi's actually done a lot of work. He put a lot of work into helping organize this stuff. So
that's neat. Well, so once again, more old tech TV guys join the fold,
and that'll go live on Tuesday the 10th. Tuesday the 10th, you can download it. Check it out.
That's great. So that's your CES coverage. And is that was also from CES, or?
That was from CES, and we'll put that up on revision3.com.
Yeah. John C. Dvorak had an interesting idea. Neither John nor I went to Vegas. I just didn't go because I'm lazy. But John actually is trying something out. You're doing a virtual CES?
Yeah, I gave up on the idea of going to CES, and I'll tell you why. There's over 6,500 analysts and media people there covering 2,500 booths.
Oh,
I mean, it's like over-covered. And so I put up a meta site instead, which is basically I went and looked at all the people that are linking to CES or that have news about CES, which includes PC Magazine, Ziff Davis, ZDNet, PC World, Engadget, Gizmodo. And you go to my site, dvorak.org/CES, and you'll find it. And that's essentially, as far as I'm concerned, you can get the whole show that way. And in fact, it's very well covered if you take a look at those particular sites.
I thought Engadget did an amazing job. I felt like I saw, they had booth tours, they had live coverage of the keynotes, and they had an analysis. I thought they did as good a job, as certainly better job than I would have been.
That's the way I see it. You know, but there's something else about these shows that are over-covered like this, which I think is great for guys like Gary Shapiro, you know, and the CES folks. But the fact of the matter is, even if you remember back during the tech TV days, they would, like, take and put their entire budget into going down to CES, which is already over-covered.
We spent $1 million 1 year. I can't remember if it was Comdex or CES. But
it was CES.
CES. $1 million.
Right, they spend $1 million. Meanwhile, you have to remember there's 900 shows a year in the United States that have to do with computer technology.
Really?
Meanwhile, Tech TV puts $1 million in this, and they won't spend 10 cents on sending anybody to any of the other shows where there's a lot of good stuff. I mean, there's not everybody. With 2,500 booths, you know this. I mean, these are just the guys who can afford to go to CES and exhibit. Most of the really cool stuff is someplace else, and you have to get out.
Next Fest, South by Southwest, Demo, all of those are much more interesting, frankly, than anything CES does.
Well, Demo I have an issue
with. What would you have done with $1 million, Kevin and David? I mean, you could go for years. You could do 1,000 systems for that.
Well, the problem with this show is, like you guys were saying, it's just so big now, and you're bombarded with, like, flat-screen TVs. It's like, now there's a 700-inch flat-screen LCD.
Right.
It's just, the web is really the way to do it. I mean, everyone else is doing it so well. I mean,
so why'd you go?
Well, we went to shoot Dignation there. They're going to give us a free little spot on the showroom floor to shoot it. We met up with a bunch of fans that came out. So that was a lot of fun. But to look at products, I actually skipped the entire floor. I went to Dolby to see some of my friends there. And then other than that, I just took off, and I've just turned to the web to find all the links and reviews.
So even though you were there,
it was a madhouse. I mean, it is just like, it's craziness. I can't even tell you how packed it was. Like, you get stuck in these little hallways that they kind of try and shuffle you through, and then you're just like sitting there for like 5 minutes going, how am I going to get out of this? It's pretty crazy.
You know, I'm not saying at any point that these shows should be over with and we should do everything on the internet, because then that wouldn't work at all. You do need these shows. And there are people that need to go to CES, and those people tend to be salesmen who have to, like, do deals, and they have to meet, you know, a lot of clients during a very short period of time, and I think it's very effective for that. But for people to go and look for new products at this particular show, I think it's futile. In fact, I was getting press releases during the show at my house here, and these press releases, if I was actually at the show, I wouldn't have been able to respond to any of these things because I'd have been too busy, and then there's a lot of distractions.
But John, if you don't need these shows, why did Comdex fold if you need these shows? I mean, it wasn't that the point of Comdex? Was the dealers meet the vendors?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what the key to the success of these shows, and you do need these shows for that kind of thing where, but again, it's mostly salespeople that need to have these kinds of
meetings.
So why
did Comdex fold?
I think, well, Comdex folded for a number of reasons. For one thing, they lost their focus. They kind of gave up on the idea that the show is about computers, and it became like an enterprise business show. I mean, this idea that you're going to start appealing to the enterprise people who never go to anything.
But what's the focus of CES? I mean, there's no focus at all.
It's consumer electronics.
Yeah, but that's everything. Anything,
I know. I think they wanted to be everything.
Well, I think CES doesn't want to be everything. I've talked to Shapiro about this, and he's not that pleased with it. I mean, he's not carping about the money, but he's not pleased with the fact that they had to absorb Comdex. I would like to see him spin it off the computer show. They almost did it this year with the event at the Sands, which was the Innovation Pavilion. And there's no reason that they can't actually literally recreate Comdex and just spin it off and not have, you know, this mix that they have now.
That's the one place I wanted to go to, the Sands Innovation Pavilion. That's the place I didn't get to go. That's what I was really interested in seeing. I don't know what you heard about it or what was.
Well, I mean, I got pictures on the web. I don't know what it was like.
It
was fantastic.
David and Kevin were there and saw nothing.
You know what the worst thing was about Comdex for the journalist? The worst
CES?
Thing?
CES? What?
No, I mean, yeah.
I'm glad
CES.
You did that, because I was going to do that any minute now.
The absolute worst thing was the media bags. It's always kind of cool to get a nice little...
Yeah, I love those.
They're terrible. It's the crappiest little roller backpack you have ever seen. It's
they
horrible.
Had a pretty good bag a couple years ago.
Yeah, I had the
that
green
was the main
one,
reason
the
I went.
One. Yeah, I go to get the bag, yeah.
This one eBay.
The Toshiba bags. What,
Toshiba.
Well, you know what
I
it was?
I have mine.
It's because of the sheer number of media that were there this year.
6,500 bags, yeah.
You know, 6,500 bags for all these people. It's just like, that's a lot of, those things cost like $10. That's like $65,000 worth of bags for a bunch of boneheads.
And you know what's funny? Here's what's really, really funny, because this is one of the big news things at CES. Inside of the bag, they always put things that people pay for. Well, inside of this bag is something from the Blu-ray group, and also inside the bag is something from the HD-DVD group, and those are some of the only things in the bag. It's ridiculous.
Hey, that was one thing I was surprised. Did anybody see a combined HD Blu-ray DVD playback unit?
I don't think there was one. But I mean, Broadcom announced a chip that'll do both at the same time on the same chip. But
that's
but
an issue, because consumers are not going to buy two high-def DVD players. They're not going to buy one until this gets settled.
it's not going to get settled. This is going to be this is truly, and I've always like poo-pooed the idea that everything is VHS beta, you know, revisited.
This really is.
I think it is, too.
This is boneheaded. And we were, you know, I wish Robert Herron were here. He's also on route. He can't get back in time. But this was one thing Robert said from the beginning. Oh, no, don't worry. There'll be dual format players, but there aren't.
You know, the dual format, if you talk to either one of these groups, they'll tell you it's going to cost a lot of money to make a dual one, because these two technologies are not that compatible.
The other thing, sitting from a distance, the other thing I noticed was there was no really big news. What was the big news of CES this year? Kevin?
Well, that big story? Wasn't Vista. Did you see that funny video about Vista?
No.
Oh, I guess
Bill Gates was kind of trying to flog it. That was a big. I mean, he didn't have anything to say in his keynote. That was a big story in the keynote.
Apparently, Larry Page gave a keynote that was maybe one of the worst in history, I'm told.
Was that about Google Pack?
Yeah, but wait a minute. Robin Williams. It doesn't matter how bad the keynote was. 15 minutes of Robin Williams redeems anything, doesn't it? None of you guys saw it? Did you? Neither of you guys saw it?
I saw it as part of the stream. It was so boring that I turned it off.
Well, as soon as I knew that Larry Page was doing it, I thought it might not be that good, because half the time that Google has one of their co-founders in the media, it's Sergey Brin, who's supposed to be the amicable guy, the guy who's good at talking. And as soon as you hear that Larry Page is giving the speech, at least from what I've heard, people say, hey, Sergey Brin is totally the voice. Then why wouldn't they have the guy who's more...
Neither one is exactly a pistol. We've had them both on the screensavers, and they're not exactly dynamic. But who cares? They're scientists. They're not...
Who cares? They're rich.
They're rich. the Google Pack. What's your take on that?
I think it's just a clever marketing scheme to bundle all of their crap together. They couldn't figure out a way to get you to install Google Desktop or some of their other stuff, and so they said, "Hey, we're going to make this pack that has everything all in one."
But it's missing a word. There's no word processor.
Well, it's not supposed to be. It's just a bunch of. I think you picked the word exactly right, Kevin. It's a box of crap.
It is. It's just a box of crap. Hey, and then they throw in, like, trial versions of Norton antivirus.
Oh, that's like I need that.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is I have installed that Google Desktop search thing 3 or 4 times now, and every time I've had to take it off the system because, you know, it just steals cycles and it stalls the machine. I mean,
They all do. Because this is indexing.
There's got to be a smarter way of doing it.
This pack, look at the software that's in there. It's so confusing. We're going to give you the Google toolbar for Internet Explorer,
Firefox.
You also get Firefox with the Google toolbar.
Who wants Real Player? Please,
Real in there too? Really?
It's an optional install. The good news is, you know, the best thing of it, by the way, was the installer. I really liked the installer because it was very small, quick download. You could choose what you're going to install. It resumed it downloads and then installs, and then you could resume it. It has auto update. I mean, that was the thing they should, you know, do more of, give more of that stuff away. But yeah, the Real Player is one of the options. I mean, Norton antivirus and Real Player, two of the worst things you can put on a desktop computer. Yeah. And who doesn't have Adobe Reader? Come on.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So that's the big announcement.
Hey, by the way, has anybody noticed that I had Adobe 6? You know, that thing, by the way, is getting worse with age. But I had, they wanted to upgrade to Adobe 7, and it kept coming up saying, you want the, here's Adobe 7, and here's the Yahoo toolbar. Has anyone seen this?
Yes.
And it won't let you not take the Yahoo toolbar. I don't want the Yahoo toolbar ever.
We're in a bad era. This is a bad era. Everything, you know, and somebody pointed out, and I think this is true, that Google's real business, we're finally seeing, is not search. Google's business is to get AdSense everywhere. I think it was Jason Calacanis who said this. That's their business. Put ads everywhere. And that's what the pack is all about. Just how many Google ads can we stick on your desktop?
All ads, all the time.
And now, was anybody surprised that they didn't announce a Google PC with the Google OS?
I wasn't surprised. There wasn't enough buzz.
I don't see there being a Google OS for a long time. No, I mean, no. Who would run Google OS? I mean, they seriously, the first thing they would have to do is go hire or at least steal some of the Apple design guys, because if it's anything that Google creates, it's going to be ugly as all hell. Like, seriously, they're great. I love their search engine, but they have no idea when it comes to a sense of design. I mean, I would not be running the Google OS. I mean, one of the reasons why most people, at least that, you know, are kind of in my demographic, run certain operating systems is because they'd love to customize it and it looks pretty. And, you know, I can't see that coming out of Google, anything good coming out of Google there.
So this was the keynote that everybody was waiting. I mean, they put it on Friday for some reason. Everybody was saying, well, this is going to be good. Bill Gates started out with nothing, right? I mean, Justin Timberlake, he brings on. This is his idea of a hot commodity. He shows Vista and says, yes, sometime next year, sometime later this year. And they announced, some deal with MTV to do music and some deal with DirecTV. Nothing, basically.
You know, I don't understand why they these keynotes, why don't get some real heavy hitters. I mean, I guess Stringer could be qualified, but, you know, I'm sick of listening to these same old speeches that are just nothing but promoting their own product. I mean, this is not...
Well, you think Bill Gates is a heavy hitter.
There's no vision here.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah. Oh. Bill Gates announced this was the digital decade. Hey, good news. Here we are, 2006. He's figured this out.
Have you guys seen the video that came out from CES about the product manager that was describing Vista and how they overlaid the video of OS X?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. It's going around the web right now. Basically, what they had this product manager saying, look at, there's transparent windows that you can see on top of each other. And here, you look at in the toolbar, you can actually see video playing. And they're showing OS X doing this right now as the Microsoft product manager is talking about it. It is hilarious.
That's kind of the knock on Vista, is it's just a ripoff of OS X.
Oh, it's a copycat. They just stole everything from OS X. Widgets, everything. Well, then again, Apple stole widgets from Confabulous.
It's all what goes around comes around, I suppose. But how about Paul Otellini, the Intel CEO, who brought on, he brought on Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise, Danny DeVito. This was a star fest, and still nothing.
You know, there's something wrong when they have to bring all these guys out you know. Why don't they bring out some of the women instead? I think it'd be better for this audience. Who wants to see Tom Cruise?
Yeah, well, Tom apparently saved the demo. I guess they were showing a demo they were trying to show. Oh, no, was this Yahoo? Maybe it was Yahoo. I think it was Terry Semel who...
Right.
Yeah, it was Yahoo. They were trying to show a streaming video of Tom Cruise's movie, and it wouldn't play, so the Cruise comes out and saves him and plays it. That's really pathetic. All right, so come on, there must have been a big announcement. How about that Sony e-reader? Are you excited about that?
You know, Patrick Norton seemed to be. I looked at it and I didn't think much of it. What's the point?
Patrick's wanted one of these Libres for a while. This is essentially what it is. Did you, when you were in Japan, Kevin, did you see a Libre, the little Sony e-readers?
No, you know, Phil Terone had one I saw up in San Francisco a few weeks ago, but I didn't see any in Japan.
And what did you think of it?
It was cool. It was a cool little device.
That's essentially what this new Sony e-reader is. And the idea is what they say. They don't give the battery life in terms of hours. They give it number of books. I don't know how they get that, but they say a 15-book battery life.
I hate the way they say there's so many songs in your pocket. I'd rather just say how big the darn thing is. But.
Tell me the hours. How fast do I read? Do you know how fast I read? Tell me how many hours it's going to be. And it's a very crisp display, according to people who've seen it. But it's $300.
It's also $400.
Isn't it just more of the same? These things, only a number of people out there have warmed up to these readers. I just don't see becoming successful.
No, Steve Gibson is the only guy I know who uses a Palm.
Norton likes the idea.
Well, Norton likes the idea. Well, let's see if Norton likes the actual thing.
Well, he'll probably get it and then complain.
Well, you'll hear it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe on DLTV, then you'll hear it here.
Well, Kevin's got the Trio coming in the mail, I think.
Do you?
Right, Kevin?
You ordered that?
Yeah, I ordered the 700. I just, I had the 600, I had the 650, and...
You didn't like the 650. You brought it back.
You know, I think it's the Palm OS thing. I don't know what it is. It's just like, I really don't see... I just didn't really like it. It didn't work for me. So now hopefully with all these Windows CE apps, I'll be able to find something I can actually do with it.
This is, for some reason, a product from Palm running Windows Mobile.
Right.
The first reviews are fairly negative, by the way.
What do they say? Well, I heard it had a good digital camera, which my Razer right now does not.
That'll be nice. I think a camera is the most important part of your phone.
In video mode.
I don't want to know what you're taking pictures of.
So one of the things that came up, and I don't know if it was at CES, but it came out during CES, which is Asus coming up with a Lamborghini notebook to compete, I guess, with the Acer Ferrari notebook.
The Ferrari notebook's beautiful.
Oh, it is. The Lamborghini one is pretty too, but it's black. It's really shiny black. You know, you see them every once in a while, someone will have one, and they're pretty cool. The thing I really like is the Ferrari mouse. I've been trying to get one of those.
Right. And, well, and it's a beautiful paint job. I mean, that's what it is. It's a paint job with a Ferrari logo on it. I presume the Lamborghini's the same thing.
Yeah.
They must think somebody wants them. Dell announced or showed a beautiful, you know, painted red case. It's these case mods have, I guess, trickled down, or else they're looking at these shows and figuring, you know, Monster Garage, well, somebody must want these. I don't know what's going on. If you want a case mod, wouldn't you do it yourself? Why would you go to Dell?
Well, it's pretty hard to do with laptops.
Yeah, that's true.
Although you can just paint the thing. I mean, these things, you know, you put some stickers on it. I mean, it's not like they're immune to that.
I think it's probably a limited market, but it's sexy and it attracts eyeballs. It seems like CES, for all the noise and sound and fury, was really not particularly interesting.
You know, one thing that they announced, but I don't think they were at CES, was the Optimus keyboard is going to be out on February 1st. You're going to be able to purchase the Optimus keyboard.
What's the Optimus keyboard?
I just sent you a link. Check it out.
Oh, you did?
Tell me what you think. It's the most amazing OLED keyboard where the back... You've seen pictures of this before. Hold on, John. I'll send you a link as well. There you go. Prager, you've seen this, right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Send me one, too.
Wait a minute. I've launched something. Hold on.
Oh, no, there goes the...
I don't know what... Something happened terrible. You know, I have this Firefox extension that opens all the windows that I had open before, and it's something gone wrong with it, and it now opens all the windows I've ever had open. Wait a minute. Go away. There it is. Okay. Could you hear that? Did you hear that music?
Mm-hmm. Is that the Session Saver?
Yeah, Session Saver. But it goes... on one machine, it works fine, but it goes crazy on this machine, and it opens like... It just opened 20 or 30 windows.
Anyway, I got another product that came out at the show. Which is kind of a baffling one. Has anyone noticed that the $399 Kodak camera with the two lenses and two CCD image sensors?
And why two? What's the deal on that?
I have no idea.
Two's better than one.
One lens handles 23mm, and the other one's a 3x optical zoom.
So it's a wide macro, angle. A macro and a, or something like that, huh?
It's a wide, super wide angle plus a little zoom, and I guess you flip it or you choose one or the other. I just think it's crazy. I mean, are CCDs so cheap now that you can just throw a second one into the camera?
Well, this Optimus keyboard is gorgeous. Whoa, how much is it?
Did you get that, John? I sent it to you, too.
It's got little LEDs?
Every single little button you can put your own... every single little button's like a little display. But I don't know what's so... It looks ridiculously awesome, and it's super cool, but
it's
like,
really
is it really...
thin.
But is it really that bit? Is it really going to improve anything that you do,
Well,
though?
What if you use multiple languages?
But one of the reasons I don't think so is... There's a lot of, like, say, video editors like say that use Final Cut that love the little editor keyboard, but once they get using it, they don't care about
the
buttons.
They don't look at the keycaps.
They don't look at the keys. So who does it really matter?
But here's the question. How much is this going to be?
It's $100.
No.
It's $100.
No.
See, also, $105. There's no $100. This is, with that many OLEDs, it's going to be $1,000. You know what? This is like that guy. This is like the Shlomo guy.
OLEDs are cheap.
Are they?
Well, I mean, they're supposed to be. That's the reason that they're
108 of them?
Well, they're all little dinky ones. It's probably just one big one cut up.
Wow. Well, they say it's coming out in February.
We'll see it in June.
I don't think we'll see it in February.
I don't think we'll ever see it. Do you think
June?
June? You think we'll see it? I love the idea.
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to guess at the product price. I'm going to guess because this is the price point where it's going to start to have diminishing returns. Is $249.
Yeah, it'll be around there. I agree. Yeah.
I'm thinking $199.
$199 is what it should be. $199 will sell a lot.
$350. I'd buy it at $199.
$350, you'll die.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how finely you have to calibrate that kind of stuff? Let's see if there's prices in some of the reviews. I'm going to click through some of them. No, nobody says a price. I would buy this. Oh, $200. Wait a minute. The keyboard is as a prototype. The cost of making it is $200.
Yeah, that would mean the retail price would be $600 to $800.
Really? That big a markup, huh?
You got to do a 3x of cost of parts. So, of course, that's a bag of parts numbers. If it costs a lot to manufacture,
they make a lot more.
But it's whatever the case is, it sounds like it's not affordable.
What's the cost of parts for the Xbox 360?
That's more than that.
Well, the problem, of course, with the game business is that they sell the boxes at a loss.
Oh,
they always lose money.
Yeah, you can't sell software for a keyboard. There's no way to make the money back. It's a one-shot deal.
It's so basically, yeah.
Did you guys go see the guy who, what's his name, that is selling these the terabyte and the 2 terabyte compact flash drives? It's the Atom Computer guy.
Oh, you know, I've seen links for that, but I thought it was bogus.
Well, I think it is bogus, but he was showing at CES.
Well, you know, that's funny because I blogged that when he first announced it.
The Atom Computer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that would probably be something I would have, if I had gone to the show, I would have tried to track him down. I don't know that anybody saw this. I mean, did he really have a booth?
Yeah, and Gadget has pictures of the booth and of these. I mean, they're the size of a compact flash, and he's got labels on them that say 1 terabyte and 2 terabytes. They are solid state. They're this new, you know, whatever it is.
And it's USB 2.
No. It's got to look, he's actually got them in computers. Replacing the hard drive, so you can have a 2 terabyte solid-state hard drive.
And so you have to trick your computer into thinking it's being connected through some kind of...
Looks like it's IDE. He's got an IDE interface.
Like or SATA or something?
Yeah, the whole thing is bogus, clearly bogus. But who knows? I mean, I don't want to libel the guy. Maybe it isn't, but... has anybody ever used any of these, John? I mean, this is not the first thing he's come out with.
No, in fact, I can't find that blog reference, but I'll try to get it. It'll be on the...
You wrote about somewhere. It in your blog?
I wrote about it when it first was announced, when I first saw pictures of it, which was about 6 months ago, maybe longer.
People were skeptical then.
Well, if you start to research this fellow and his previous partners, because you can do that on Google, you'll find some very interesting things that it goes back. He's like a Russian guy or something like Bulgaria or something like that. He's a kind of a mad scientist type. I can't remember the details, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I'm trying to dig it up.
I'm desperately going through Engadget, seeing if I can find it. All I remember is the Atom computer, and he's using some sort of quantum mechanics to get huge amounts of data in very small spaces. What I don't understand is if he can't do it, what's the percentage of spending the money faking all this? I mean, why wouldn't... I mean, doesn't it seem like he must be able to come up with something if he's showing?
Here's the reference. Unfortunately, I lost the images, which I think I took from his site, and I just linked to them, deep-linked. But it was done on 9/7/2005. If anyone wants to go to my blog, then go to 9/7, and they can find it on there. And the Atom Chip Corporation... I mean, there's a little write up there.
There's a picture of he's the
Shimon
medals.
Genden.
That's it, Shimon Genden. There's a picture on his site of the medals that he's won. And the whole thing is, if it's a scam, it's an interesting scam. It's kind of hard to believe that it's possible. I mean, where would this come from?
Well, you know, who knows?
Maybe it's deep Russian.
The Atom Chip Corporation, you can go to the website atomchip.com and you can see his
6.8 gigahertz CPU, 2 terabytes of quantum storage.
Yeah, with a bunch of patents and a bunch of awards.
That sounds to be more vaporware than that Phantom gaming console.
Yeah, that's what people are comparing it to, is the Phantom.
It seems to me that he really likes awards more than anything.
Actually, is anyone excited?
If you Google Shimon Genlin, you find Dvorak's article, actually. So I'll put that in the show notes.
So is anyone interested in these dual core Centrino notebooks?
Yeah,
Apple.
That's the thing. To me, this CES felt so kind of dull. Maybe it's because in comparison to what we hope will come out of next week from Apple, maybe it's just that this is like the opening act. That's what I'm more interested in.
Well, speaking about Engadget, their big rumor anyway, or that's where I read it first, was they're coming out with 42-inch and 50-inch displays that have built-in computer. I don't know. What do you think about that?
You know, this came from one guy's blog. It's a funny blog because he talks about how he found out about this in a convenience store, and you know, the convenience store clerk said, "Psst, I got a friend," told him this story, which obviously it's from O'Grady's Power Page. I find this hard to believe. John, what do you think? First of all, this is the kind of thing you'd announce at CES, not at Mac World Expo. It's an HD TV. Basically, it's a media center. with a Mac in it.
Yeah, you know, this whole, I think that's, that kind of baffles me about some of these initiatives, kind of surrounds my befuddlement over Vive.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I thought they were going to do more.
I'm sure this would have a Vive chip in it.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I don't know. I think there's been no real move that I've seen from the consumers to really want this kind of thing.
Right.
There's a lot of nerds that really like it, a lot of geeks that think it's cool, but generally speaking, these have to be mass market items, and I'm not seeing a trend here.
Nobody wants a kernel panic or a blue screen of death on their television set. You know, and that was one of the things that was good about TiVo. It was pretty reliable. It felt like a
Linux.
Appliance. Yes, because it's running Linux.
So Apple's big announcement is going to be the notebooks with the Intel-based...
I think so.
That will suck, because I just bought a PowerBook.
Yeah, I heard that. What were you thinking?
Well, you know, they updated the screens. They did a new resolution screen on the PowerBooks recently within, like, the last, what, 4 or 5 months?
It's a real high res, so too, huh?
Yeah, so I thought, you know, they're not going to release anything new, hopefully.
That's what they're trying to hope you'll say, you know?
I would be convinced this was happening only if Leo had just bought a PowerBook.
Yes, exactly.
I'm holding off. I really do believe, in fact, I've told everybody I know that now, you know, for the last couple of months has been the time to wait. Don't buy a Mac now. You know, wait and see what they announce Tuesday.
I think they're going to go. They might do something in the form of some type of media center, because, you know, have you played with Front Row at all?
Yeah, love Front Row.
It's really cool. It just needs a few more features, a little PVR functionality, and it would be a really cool device.
Well, that's the speculation. They'll build a Vive-based Mac Mini with Front Row on it. You know, the new iMacs come with Front Row and a remote control. You press the button and it comes up. It's much nicer looking than Microsoft's Media Center Edition. It really, and it has little rotating icons. You pick your music or your videos or your DVD or your
If anyone's
pictures.
Played with Myth TV, that you know, a lot of this comes from, I think, that initiative. The problem is that Myth TV, which has all this functionality, and you know, you put in a little box and put it over by your television set and use it, because it's plug-in driven, you can actually put all kinds of cool features on there. I know Apple will not never have, which is things that will allow you to like rip
BitTorrent.
DVDs.
Yeah, or BitTorrent.
Well, and you put BitTorrent on. You can do all these cool things, and you know, that's pretty much the way people really want to go.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're going, that's what, speaking to what you said originally, which is this is a geek market. This is not a general market, and that's what geeks want to do.
Again, you know, you give me a Mac Mini that you can plug into your TV, you know, with a cable card slot in the back, and then you plug it directly DVI into the back of your TV, have a little remote for it, 100 gigabyte hard drive internally. I don't know. That could be a little TiVo killer right
now.
How
many cable companies are offering or allowing you to use cable card?
TiVo, wait, hold on a second. TiVo killer? TiVo's dead.
Yeah, well, it's easy to kill him.
TiVo killer?
It doesn't take much.
I'm talking about the PVR industry as a whole.
He meant to say it's a killer PVR.
Yeah.
Which is what it is.
I'm just giving them.
I don't know if TiVo's completely dead. I mean, their stock's at $5 a share.
Did you hear what Jim Denny said recently?
What?
Jim Denny's like their big marketing guy. He says it's been my opinion that the DVR is sort of a stepping stone technology, more of a feature than an actual product. He said, really, the future is internet delivered content, not recording it and watching it later. So that was the smartest thing out of TiVo I've heard in a long time.
I agree. Well, they're making those moves. They've got the deal with Yahoo. I mean, I think that makes sense.
They need the deal with Netflix is what they need the deal with. Somebody needs to partner with them so I don't have to wait for my movies to come.
They are. They have a deal with Netflix.
Oh, well,
there you go. Hey, here's an interesting question. You must have noticed the Google Video announcement. Does this intrigue you, Kevin, particularly? What they're going to do is start offering, CBS is going to offer shows without commercials. NBA is going to offer games the day after. You'll be able to download them. Now, here's the thing I like. You have a choice of whether to include copy protection or not. Obviously, CBS and NBA will, but others, like Charlie Rose, are not going to. You can also... set the price, unlike Apple, where everything's 99 cents for music, $1.99 for video. You can set the price, and
you're still paying for your own bandwidth if you put your own stuff up there, right?
No. Google hosts it. Yeah.
Oh, so that's better. Better than what you can do on iTunes.
Yeah.
So how much are they going to pay you to watch Charlie Rose?
Have you ever been on Charlie Rose? You seem like the type that he'd like to have on.
No, he likes Markov.
Oh, he's had Markov on. All right.
I don't understand what the big deal is about the NBA thing. If anything is worth watching live, it's freaking sports.
You don't want to watch a basketball game the next day.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Charlie Rose I would buy. Probably not some CBS shows, but why? You know, here is an opportunity to sell System or Dignation Video. You know, you could sell it for 99 cents, and you don't have to put in copy protection. And I mean, I think Google might have a handle on this. By the way, they're only taking, I think, now I heard one person say 20%, another say 30%, but they're taking a much smaller cut than Apple takes.
What's the deal with how Google is recompressing the video? Because right now,
it's awful, you know, now.
It's terrible. Everything, yeah. Every single System episode that we've posted on there or Dignation, ghastly. It's pixelated to death. It's 20K a second or something.
Well, they make it very low bandwidth. But I think that this, what they say downloads here, and I'm hoping. Okay. That means they're going to have full quality downloads.
Yeah,
I mean, CBS
great.
Isn't going to put its shows. You know, you're not going to see, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond pixelated at 20 kilobits. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, you know, I've been doing that already. I've been watching the show The Office, which is the U.S. version is also very good. And I missed an episode of it. And I went in the iTunes Music Store, and they had it the next day or the day after or 2 days after. And I was able to buy it for $1.99, and I had it the quality that I want and downloaded it right then and there.
I thought you used BitTorrent, Kevin.
You know, the deal. Here's the deal.
Hey, hold on a second. I got to write this down. What was the date today that somebody actually bought a copy of The Office? Let me get this.
Hey, not Microsoft Office. I bought Desperate Housewives, Lost, and Surface, the entire seasons.
Yeah, see, that's the whole thing.
It's easy.
It's easy, and I know the quality is going to remain the same throughout all the different episodes. I want to collect it, so that's my way of collecting these episodes. If I get it off BitTorrent, it's going to be all chopped up. It might be an XVID. It might be an H.264. Who knows? This way I get it in one unified little package that I can keep forever.
David, move your mic a little away from your nose.
Yikes.
A windstorm.
Is that better?
Jeez.
Yeah. It's funny. I agree with you. But even though the quality is not that good on iTunes, at least it's acceptable. You know, I wish it were a little bit better. I mean, you could buy the DVD in a year, and it'll be good quality.
Well, see, the problem with the premium content, and when I say premium, I'm meaning like ABC, CBS stuff, is if you want to get ABC stuff, you got to go to iTunes, and now if you want to get CBS stuff, you got to go to Google. And like right now, you know, the average consumer, all they have to do is plug into DirecTV or Comcast or whoever, and they can get it all through their DVR, not subscribe to a bunch of different stuff.
Isn't CBS, somebody is going to put shows up the day before.
Well, I don't
That's
know.
Pretty cool.
Now, see, I like that.
Yeah.
Would you pay a
please.
Buck?
Why? Who cares whether you see it the day before or a week later? I'll tell you one thing I would like to see the day before is the Super Bowl. So that would be cool.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I understand with the new quantum technologies built into Atom computers, you can.
Yes, you can. You can see it next year's games
this year. It's an amazing thing.
The one problem I have to say with Apple, though, right now, is they don't have a way for you to take that video that you just purchased and easily kick it out to your TV. My PowerBook has an S video out, but, you know, it's just all nasty.
If you have an iPod with video, you just buy an AV cord. That's what I do.
That's another iPod.
How much did that cord cost you, Leo?
I think it's expensive. I think it's $30. It's a rip-off, too, because it really is. It could just be the standard multimedia cord, which I have three or four. But no, I tried those. It's not. It's some, you know, they've wired it slightly differently, so you have to buy an Apple AV cord.
I'm hoping.
And you guys
are
enamored with this stuff.
Not so.
Sorry, I'm just saying. I'm just critical here.
Yeah, and I agree with you.
What we're really going to need, though, is what I'm hoping is coming out with Macworld is a updated Airport Express so that you can stream your video right to your TV.
Yeah,
wirelessly.
That would solve it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And those are low enough quality. The file size is low enough. I think they'd stream very well over B.
Well, even if it was high quality, right? I mean, even if you have 10 megs or 8 megs, that's going to be
enough. Let's say you had 6 megabits. Yeah, you're right, yeah. Anything but HD.
These new Centrino notebooks, they've got the new wireless on theirs is A, B, and G. I wonder why they added A, which seemed to have been kind of...
It's a bundle chip.
Because they could, and it's one better. It's got three, not two.
Did you hear about NVIDIA's quad SLI?
Oh, wait a minute. I hear a ring. Yeah, let's talk about that in a second. In fact, John's got an SLI machine, but Patrick's calling here. Let me pick him up. Hey, Patrick, you're at the airport.
I'm at McCarran, yeah.
What were you laughing about?
I hadn't
in the background. Seen your icon before, and your eyebrows look like racing caterpillars.
I don't even know what icon you're seeing.
Yeah, I see the same one.
What's that?
I don't even know. I don't see it on this end, so I don't even know what icon I'm sending. I better check. So Patrick,
screen capture.
Patrick is actually in Las Vegas. He's at McCarran. He's on Wi-Fi, and it actually sounds pretty good.
The best part about traveling to Las Vegas is not the delightful people, the tremendous events, the first-class dining. It's really the free Wi-Fi at McCarran Airport. In fact, I travel regularly just to use the Wi-Fi.
let me edit that little clip out, and we'll send it to McCarran, and you'll probably see it on billboards everywhere. So, Patrick, we've been talking a little bit about CES, and the general consensus is, in fact, Kevin says he didn't even go to the show floor, is that it was just too crowded, too crazy, not worth going. John C. Dvorak, of course, was the Meta reporter. He just sat back and let other people's blogs cover it. Where would you have rather been, at home or in Vegas this week?
Well, you see, if people like me didn't go to Las Vegas, Dvorak couldn't sit happy, you know, fat, sassy, and next to his massive wine collection blogging about the event.
So we thank you. It's because of you, right?
Yeah, you're a prince.
He's a soldier for those of us who are able to sit back from the fray. Thank you, Patrick.
I mean, what we're doing is a little different. I mean, it is a huge. It is. I'm officially convinced it's bigger than Comdex was. At Comdex's biggest, it was huge this year. But the booths felt a little more spaced out, and it really, you know, I didn't get to see too much of the show floor until Friday. But they had the Hilton, they had the LVCC, which includes not just the North and the Central Hall, but the South Halls that didn't even exist when Comdex was at its peak. Plus, they had the Sands going at both levels again. So it was pretty wild. There was a lot going on, a lot of vendors.
Were you able to see everything?
No. We got to remember something. I'm producing television in a trailer out in the yard, so I don't get to see everything.
Patrick, did you make it over to the Sands because the other guys didn't?
I got to walk through the Sands on my way to get a shuttle to the LVCC.
So you didn't see
I only had a couple hours today to look around. And I spent a little bit of time down at the show to look at some of the high-end audio equipment, and there were three or four. I went to talk to JL Audio about subwoofers and a couple other things.
Patrick Patrick got to do three DLTV episodes while you were there, though. That's pretty good.
It was fun. We did 3 1-hour shows. So it's like, you know, wait, I have my Dvorak moment. www.dl.tv is a great place to go for all your video coverage needs for CES.
How many hours of coverage is three? Did you do 3 hour shows or?
We did 3 1-hour shows.
Wow.
Martin Sargent was with you too, right?
Yeah, we set Martin Sargent loose. A couple of the things are a little risque. We have at least one mother of an 11-year-old that's not pleased with us. But you guys will probably see the thing and giggle yourselves hysterical.
Is it on DLTV?
Yeah, it's up on DLTV.
Yeah, I'm looking at two pictures of him on your homepage.
You know, we just basically told him to go out and find, you know.
And he found a robo-chimp, huh?
Yeah, he was very much in love with the robo-chimp. Marty and the robo-chimp made a rather fetching couple during that segment. There was interaction, there was drama, there was pathos. It was quite a sight, actually, this screaming chimp.
Well, I'm just glad Marty's still gainfully employed. He could have done a segment from Slots of Fun, though. I'm disappointed that nobody went to Slots of Fun.
I used to love the screensaver.
No, Marty and Roger went to Slots of Fun.
Oh, did they? Oh, good. All right. So I'm glad the old traditions are still kept alive.
And I went to the Double Down Saloon.
Oh, there you go. Hey, you had a Tech TV meetup down there, right, on Wednesday. Yeah. How was that with all the...
Hey, you're saying slots, right?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
I lost $160 playing craps in about 20 minutes.
At Slots of Fun?
No. At the Wynn? No.
You'd have to work hard at Slots of Fun because I think it's at $2 tables.
The Wynn Hotel, good buffet, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
Did you stay at the Wynn this time?
Oh, no. I crashed on Kevin's couch.
Oh.
Stayed at my parents' house.
High budget production.
That's the kind of budget we roll with right there.
We've come a long way from the $1 million spent on Comdex. What was I going to ask you?
Any exciting products at CES?
Oh, yeah.
This
any
year?
Exciting products at CES this year?
the Sony Reader, I think, was the coolest thing I've seen in a while.
We knew you'd say that. We knew you'd.
You know, it's we've got to. I mean, it was one of the first things we put up on the show on Thursday's show. It's essentially an Americanized version of the Sony Libre. And it's thinner, and it's, if I'm reading the specs right, it's thinner and lighter than the original Sony Libre, which is a true e-paper-based electronic book. The screen is extraordinary. It's really amazing, and the battery life is incredible. They're basically out of a charge. You're supposed to get about 70 – you can turn pages about 7,500 times is how they're measuring.
Wow.
And with the onboard storage, they're claiming you can get about 80 novels inside the book.
So that's really why they measure battery life by books, not by hours, because it doesn't use any batteries until you turn the pages.
Exactly. I mean, essentially, it's like it's similar to a compact flash in the sense that once the pixels are set, either dark or light, and then there's no power necessary to maintain that state until you change the entire page again, until you update the entire page again.
Okay, now that's getting a little more intriguing, because it's 80 books, and it's going to last a long time.
And it's
very legible. But it's heavier than a paperback, isn't it?
Actually, I own paperbacks that are heavier than that book.
Oh, interesting.
Certainly the Cryptonomicon would outweigh that handily.
Yeah,
it was.
It's more expensive though, $300 or $400, depending on how you equip it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the pricing is right over here. It's also going to be interesting. The Libre in Japan. Part of the reason why nobody imported that from Japan is because they had the content really locked down, and the interface was in Japanese. So it'll be interesting to see. They're claiming they'll support JPEGs and PDFs and RSS feeds.
Ooh.
What happens if you drop it?
That's a good question. It looks fairly sturdy. They wrapped it in fine faux Corinthian leather, and I think there's twofold reason for that. One, obviously, to give it that fine faux Corinthian library look, Ricardo Montalban, and two, it gives it some nice cushioning and padding. I think it's gonna be interesting to see what happens. I mean,
it's like an Etch-a-Sketch where you drop it and it kind of gets all messed up.
I think we'll find out when it ships.
So does it have a networking of some kind? It must have Ethernet.
No, I believe it's handled by a software package that lives on your computer, and then you transfer it over USB.
So you have to use some crappy
Sony
program.
There's got to be some kind of program to move it on. I mean, as soon as you start putting wireless in there, you need a huge battery, and you need all kinds of intelligence to handle the communications. Yeah, they can have a relatively dumb device and use USB and save the battery life for better things.
That's fine with me. You're going to put 80 books on there. You're not going to – although that makes the RSS a little less exciting.
Can we go on RSS for a second?
Yes.
We got a demo of Windows. I was over there actually with Lloyd Case from Extreme Tech and Jim and a couple other folks from PC Magazine. And this is the first time I've ever actually gotten to talk to a real genuine person inside of Microsoft in years, right? Because we never got to talk to him at Tech TV. And we're asking the questions to do in the Dog and Pony Show. They show us Windows Media Player 11. And it's a really clean interface. It's going to be really interesting to see how people like it compared to the version now, because it's graphics. It's much more graphical. It's much cleaner. But I asked them, is there going to be RSS support in Windows Media Player 11? Pause. Wait. Hold on. Scribbling, looking back and forth. We're going to have to ask the product manager, or the PUM. So-and-so, the PUM, is in the next office. We'll have to grab him. And that's where I asked John if you'd ever heard of this PUM for a product manager.
No, the funny thing is Microsoft has a whole slew of these weird buzzwords that they use internally. And every once in a while, I've had a lot of meetings with them myself. And they'll just drop one into the conversation because they don't realize that, there's an alien amongst them. And then I'll ask them, I said, what is that supposed to mean? And then they all clam up and then they won't tell me.
Like it's a secret.
That's funny. Well, they grabbed on their way out, they grabbed the PUM for the Windows Media Player 11. And I asked them, are you going to have RSS feeds? And they don't expect to ship Windows Media Player 11 with RSS support.
Chris
which I
Perlow
thought was really
be
kind of depressing.
Yeah, Chris Perlow will be very disappointed. What would you do with RSS support? I guess catch podcasts for one thing.
Well, catch podcasts, download DL.TV, any number of our other favorite audio and video programs. Video.
Yeah.
I've been talking about Avalanche for the longest time, right? Is there like alternative BitTorrent? You would think they would have support for like Avalanche and RSS feeds built in. I mean, how hard can that be, I guess?
I thought we should start a letter writing campaign.
I honestly believe that Microsoft's so out of touch with what's actually going on that they just overlooked it. When you asked the question, they probably freaked out, and somebody like a couple of guys will be slapping their foreheads.
They're working right now.
How did we overlook that?
The feel I got was that they were looking at it, They didn't think they were going to have it in time for launch. I would just look at the guy. I'm like, what do you eat? Case of scotch? How do we get this put up higher on the development list? Flat food to slide into the programmer's doors? So maybe if we mail, like, you know, tons of packages of Kraft slices to Microsoft, they'll get it together on this.
Any other big stories that CES brought you?
Well, you guys heard about the Google keynote, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were kind of slamming the Google pack. I wasn't impressed by that. On the other hand, Google Video might be very good for all of us.
Has anybody checked Google's video data page to see if any of this is not up yet?
Yeah. The pay service isn't up yet.
I don't know. Google Pack, I think, could be a really interesting move for them, because it's obviously, you look at it, it's like they did it half just to piss off Microsoft.
Right.
You know, you can't maintain your own operating system. Let us help you.
Right.
You know, and it's a really interesting idea if they can help, you know, if they can sort of slither in and start helping people maintain their systems. You know, maybe that is their stepping stone to having some sort of online. I mean, it's like, it sounds like everybody's describing Java machines from 1996, you know. There's going to be an online operating system, and Google's going to own the world.
I really think I'm going to have to go with Jason Calacanis on this and say that their only real goal is just to get AdSense everywhere. And that's what they've done. They've packaged up a bunch of programs that will put ads on your system in one form or fashion. And then they made a deal with Real and Norton to, you know, put a little extra stuff in there. I'm sure they make money off of that.
Right.
Well, it even goes one step further in that they want to get targeted AdSense everywhere.
Yes.
You know, they're bundling all these tools like chat and the ability to search your files, so they know what you're looking at. They know who you're talking to.
Exactly.
They know where you're located, and they can deliver those, you know, extremely highly targeted ads and make more money.
That's the key. That's the key to the success of AdSense, is that the ads match content.
Yeah, you know what, though? I think that there's a lot of talk and no action. I mean, all you have to do is look at anybody's blog that's running AdSense. I run it myself. And they miss the mark so often that it's just not even, I mean, it's almost funny.
Yeah, I agree. They should be better. I think I'd make more money if they were better, but I'm making almost $2,000 a month now on very small little AdSense ads, and I'm sure people who make more of an effort to make the AdSense appear more prominently are doing even better. There's money to be made, and you know, if I'm making $2,000, that they're making a lot more. Right?
Yeah, doubt about it. You know, in fact, I think I've come to the conclusion that if you look at the just the way the numbers work and the fact and what you get your how you get your few pennies now and again, is that your best bet is to take out the Google AdSense ads rather than display them.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And it is I would say, you know, the vast majority, the bulk of their revenue, if not all of their revenue, comes from these ads. So I think that's Jason Calac. I'll put a link to Jason's blog posting. But basically, his thesis was Google's not a search company; that they're an AdSense company. That's their business, and everything they do, if you consider it in that light, makes a lot of sense.
I'm kind of curious to see what they're going to do with the video distribution.
Well, we're hoping that they'll do. You know, I mean, there's many things to like about it over Apple. What Apple's been doing, well, one is you can set your own price. They take a smaller cut. You can choose whether to have DRM or not. I mean, I certainly.
Well, is anybody other than the couple of Apple's partners actually able to sell video?
You mean on Google or on iTunes?
On iTunes, you're not allowed to sell video on iTunes unless you have a special deal, as far as I know.
ABC does, and so I approached them right away, and they said, we're interested, but right now the complication, you know, we don't want to do deals with a million different little people, so we've got to figure out a way to centralize it. I imagine they'll do something like they do with CD Baby, which gives independent musicians the chance to sell on iTunes. You go to some central clearinghouse, but then that's just a bigger cut.
You know, you might be wrong there, Leo. And I'll tell you why. In the cable TV business, you run into this situation where these deals are made that basically cut out the little guy. And I wouldn't be surprised if these networks do some sort of thing. Well, why are you going to, if you're going to give them carriage, you're going to give us carriage, we're more important, you know, let's do an exclusive, or you can only have, you can have us and NBC, but you can't have these little guys. There's a really strong effort by these big companies to keep little guys from doing what you described.
You may well be right. I mean, it's very threatening to them. Apple, you know, I talked with Apple in the earliest days when they didn't have much content. Maybe they were using the threat of that to get the big guys to come along now that they have. Maybe they don't need the little guys anymore.
Well, have you guys been hearing? I've got hit from three different directions in the last couple of weeks that the big announcement at Macworld is going to be a new version of iTunes with a lot of the video functionality. Pardon me, my voice is going again. With a lot of increased, like, video, like all the tools that are missing to make video play on the iPod, the fifth generation iPod, and some ideas that there's going to be some interesting stuff done with video distribution on the inside the software itself.
You know, that makes perfect sense, but I think what's really clear, whether they do or don't, is that this is the next big thing. I mean, everybody from Yahoo to Google to Apple is looking at video distribution over the net. That's the next big thing.
Well, so is online, you know, bill tracking for lawyers. And
yeah, maybe it's bogus. And, you
know, .com was going to kill off, you know,
What was IPTV looking like at CES? Was there a lot of IPTV action?
You couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting something that had some angle with online video or IPTV. And what was bizarre is then you ran into stuff like Modio, which Nokia had demonstrating on a phone, which is a company they were called Crown Castle. They changed their name recently. They own a ton of 10 megahertz bandwidth. And they're doing a broadcast network for cellular and portable devices, an over-the-air broadcast network at 10 megahertz. You know, at the same time, you've got the IPTV stuff, you've got you know, Mobi TV and the Verizon stuff competing on cell phones. You've got I could start listening Google Video, Yahoo to go, or Yahoo is it Yahoo Video to go or Yahoo Video to go? The Dave TV. And there's just stuff everywhere. And there's the portable players are going to be interesting. We got our chances to get our hands on the new Vision M from Creative, which doesn't seem to have any video DRM agreements in place right now, but is looking to be a fairly strong competitor to Apple's iPod and delivering their claim in 4 hours of battery life out of a similar 2.5-inch screen. A lot of portable devices.
Go ahead. Well, I'm sorry, but I just want to mention that if people want to keep up with IPTV, they go to IPTVdaily.com.
One of the reasons people were complaining about Google doing its own DRM instead of using one of the existing solutions is now you got yet another DRM standard, and how are you going to get all device makers to support, 15 different kinds of copy protection?
I would be really interested to see what, if anything, lies under that, because I've noticed a bunch of people are like, we have our custom system for protecting your content. It's just a rewarmed over, Windows Media Player.
Google.
Yeah, no, I'm sure Google's doing it.
They're going to say, well, we can do it better, so we're going to do it ourselves. But it does raise an issue for consumers. First of all, consumers don't like copy protection to begin with. They'll put up with it, but it's got to be easy, and it can't be I have to use one program to copy video from one machine, from one source, and another program to copy from another source, and none of it'll play on my Zen, but some of it'll play on my iPod. That's not going to work. You talk about Betamax versus VHS. That's like 20 times worse.
Or Betamax versus a build-your-own VCR kit in some cases.
Yeah,
right. I mean, I can't remember who it was. I tested a portable video player last year that the manufacturer didn't list any of the specs for compatible video formats for the player.
It plays it all. Don't worry about it.
It played like two bizarre formats, and it took us like, 4 or 8 attempts to figure out what they were.
Where's Og Vorbis when we need him?
DivX actually made a number of good partnerships, it looks like, with hardware manufacturers to play back DivX. There were a number of DivX.
Well, they did with Google, didn't they? Didn't they say that's how Google's going to be doing the DRM videos?
Oh, interesting. I didn't see that. That's a big deal.
DivX and Google partner up, Yahoo News.
Wow.
That's right.
So some good moves for DivX. DivX is doing okay.
I installed all that new DivX stuff, and I recorded a bunch of things off of the various devices, and put them on my laptop so I can watch movies and things while I'm traveling. And the sound is never syncing up right on any of it.
That's a big problem.
Lips are going
general.
One way, and the text is going out. I have one scene where this Ingmar Bergman and somebody else and Bogart are like talking to each other, and she's talking on his voice, and he's. When he's talking, it's her voice. It's weird.
It's like a Woody Allen movie.
You're using to compress it. Yeah, really.
I used the DivX compressor.
Tiger Lily Part 3. DivX compressors? Dr. DivX or the...
Well, Dr. DivX is gone, unfortunately.
No, it's the newer stuff.
No, there's an open source version.
Yeah, which I'm glad. Thank goodness.
And there's a pretty good... The new DivX tool is pretty amazing, actually.
Is it?
You get a lot of code rewriting. Yeah, actually, if you're not running the latest version of the DivX tool, it's worth downloading it.
But again, consumers are having a hell of a time. And in fact, audio video sync is one of the biggest issues. There's no real good way to do it. And That's why people are going to end up buying stuff from iTunes. It's why Kevin's buying stuff from iTunes Music Store, because it works, right, Kevin? You don't have to worry about syncing audio and video.
Exactly. And you know you're going to get a quality download every time.
Kevin, Mr. BitTorrent, the man that taught me everything I knew about stealing content. Get a company going and you start paying for stuff.
No. I'm not saying BitTorrent doesn't have its uses, but, you know, it's one of those things if you want to collect, you know, an archive of 10 different episodes of one of your favorite seasons of Battlestar Galactica or something like that, you're going to want that same quality across the entire list of episodes. And
how much
iTunes can provide it.
Kevin, you can download the whole series as one download.
Mm-hmm. I know. I did that.
$1.99, you get paid $1.99 to watch Battlestar Galactica?
I would.
You'd have to pay me $5 to watch it.
Did you watch the first season?
I'd rather stick pins in my eyes.
Wow.
Would you have paid $1.99 to see Firefly episodes?
Yes. Absolutely.
See, you know what I mean? I just BitTorrented that one. I didn't.
But what's funny though is, I mean, I did a big chunk of a feature on BitTorrent and iTunes video, and it was like the one thing I said in the BitTorrent thing is like, yeah, BitTorrent's amazing, but it would be so much nicer if you could, just like what you said before, Kevin, you know, if you could buy the HBO stuff, like you could buy Deadwood 2 weeks after it goes live for a couple bucks, I'd totally pay a few dollars.
That's what's going to happen. All you're seeing, right. The reason BitTorrent has been successful up to now is because it's really a bellwether of the interest that consumers have in getting video this way. As soon as companies figure out how to do it reliably, people will pay for it.
Well, it's just like MP3s. It's been so long since I've actually downloaded an MP3 legally because I want that quality, and I just go on the iTunes Music Store and buy it.
This is what we've been saying all along from the day one of Napster. We kept yelling at these guys, hey, you know, the people want this stuff. They're not really wanting to steal it. It's the only way they can get it.
It's funny because it looked like at the keynotes, everybody was saying the thing I've been saying in my speeches for a long time. Consumers just want content where they want it, when they want it, how they want it, with no restrictions. And finally, that message seems to be coming through. I mean, there's always going to be a DRM, but I think one hopes try to keep it as unobtrusive as possible. They do have to solve this issue, though, of multiple DRM solutions.
I was going to say, one of the things that sucks right now is that you can't decrypt your iTunes music. That's one of the things I'm kind of pissed off at.
Yeah, JHIM,
I was
using JHIM. JHIM doesn't work anymore.
They broke it. Well, here's the deal. I don't share it with anyone. I just want it decrypted so I can move it between my multiple machines and not worry about authorizing and deauthorizing my music. And JHIM was great because I could buy the music online, decrypt it, and then do whatever I want with it. But now it's broke. And
see, this sounds like the Kevin I know and love.
Yeah. Most of the iTunes updates of the last, you know, the last 4 or 5 updates have been not to improve it, not to add features,
trickery.
But to reverse copy protection, the stuff.
Yeah. Did you hear? According to Reuters, digital track sales tally last year was 142.6 million, and this year it's 147% more at 352 million. That's
huge. I was just about to say.
Well, and over 20 million of it was in the last 7 days of the year.
Do you think we're about to see the same thing with video?
Yeah, because actually, more bandwidth.
Whoa, guys, take a step back from that. If you read the rest of the article that came from David, they're also losing money because they make about 10% of the amount of the download. Oh, they claim the numbers say they make about 10% of what they do off of a DVD.
They've done something stupid.
DVDs are grossly inflated prices.
They've done something stupid. Then
Leo. This is called creative bookkeeping.
Yeah, more likely. Grows 142% and you make less money.
Yeah,
either you're stupid
no
or you're lying.
Because but guys, listen to me. CD sales are down. You know, individual track sales and
CD
online
sales
album
are going to never go back up. They are going to go down until they go to zero. It's the end of the
I know
line.
What I'm saying though is they're used to scamming so much money out of people. CDs cost $2 to make,
true.
Right?
So their margins are
and they're
small.
Still if you scale.
But wait a minute, what does it cost them to make a digital disc?
It's not $2 even. It's only about it's less than a dollar.
But what does it cost them to make a download? Zilch.
Well,
zero.
It costs them bandwidth, distribution, the maintenance of the website.
That's all Apple's cost. Apple's the one who's not making any money. I guarantee you the music industry is making a ton of money.
No, what I'm saying, though, is what the music industry says is they're making money, but they make less money off of it. They're claiming they make less money off of a digital track than they do off of a CD track.
And you believe them?
actually, if you think about it, if it's a 10-song album and you pay $10 on iTunes, they're going to rip you for it for $18 in CDs in half the retail stores in North America.
Well, the case I would make is that business is going to die no matter what. So, you know, you guys can get you can get $10 or you can get no bucks. You ain't going to get $18.
Well, I think we settled that.
So let's get back to the question then. Is video the next frontier for this?
It has to be.
I'm going to disagree with this one. Of course, I'm disagreeing in the short term. I think video is the next frontier, but it's way out until we get better bandwidth in this country. Our country is falling behind. We're like 15th or worse in the world 15th. In terms of
actually, we were up to 13th access. As of November.
Oh, wow.
But it's still, we're pretty pathetic.
It's interesting. Look how long it took for us to turn around from CDs to download music. Look how quickly this video thing is happening. It's happening much faster.
Yeah, it's going to saturate fast, too, because there's not enough people with enough bandwidth to do it. You know, in en masse.
And there's one other problem, I think, and that is that everyone keeps going crazy about HD, and HD looks freaking awesome, but that bandwidth that requires is ridiculous. So if you get used to liking your HD, I don't think you're going to be able to find it on Google Video or iTunes anytime soon. I mean, they can compress it and make it look like that, but the bandwidth, they just can't do it.
Isn't it interesting? They're both happening at the same time. We're both moving to this lower quality streaming and downloadable video, and then this higher quality, you know, high definition video.
Yeah, you know, it's a worldwide. Leo, it's like a worldwide political trend. If you think about it, you have the EC and balkanization taking place at the same time.
Wow!
Wow! A little profundity.
Wait a minute,
here.
I have to wrap
take
my
a pen
head
out. You can write this down.
Holy moly! That's going in the show notes.
Let me go trend, worldwide
EC
trend.
EC and balkanization at the same time. Maybe that is. Maybe you're right. Maybe there's a political thing going on here. I don't know. Well, on the other hand, music, high fidelity music, as we've talked about before, is history. Everybody's moving towards low quality downloadable music formats.
Well, except for myself hope that CDs linger on for a while.
Oh, they're
Well, or anybody who wants in multiple formats without having to violate the Digital Millennium Copyright Act by cracking their audio so they can have it on four different systems or without buying a Sonos system or something. It's kind of, I don't know.
I guess maybe that's the last best hope for the $18 CD is the copy protection and the low quality of a downloadable one will keep you from doing it.
Well, it would be interesting. I mean, you know, if you think about it this way, if Sony will buy into that horrible rootkit pseudo copy protection they put on the discs, I'm sure they'll be willing to, you know, dump CDs to move everything to online and try to do some sort of rotating horrible copy encryption management system that has a proprietary player or something just as asinine.
That's what you just talked about your ebook reader. That's what you're talking about right there. And
the ebook reader. But they're saying about the ebook reader is that it's going to actually, you're going to be able to import content into it.
Yeah, but you'll have to go through that Sony program.
Yeah, if it's Sony, it's baloney.
Yeah, I agree. Sony makes you use their program, even for PDFs and JPEGs. You'll have to go through the Sony program.
Well, you know, Apple makes you use iTunes, you know.
True.
And what do people do? They hack ways around that. There's a half dozen applications that, you know, I mean, there's a Winamp plugin that'll actually allow you to contact.
I got an idea.
What?
Topic number two.
Which is?
I don't know.
The EC and balkanization.
Aren't we pretty much wrapped?
I think CES is done. Now, we're going to do a live show from the Zeum Tuesday, the 10th. It'll be the evening of Tuesday, the 10th, the day.
Are you saying live or live to tape?
Well, not live for the listeners, but live for us.
Okay.
We'll be in the Zeum, which is a beautiful theater. Where do you see it? We have about 170 seats. I think they're all gone. In fact, I think we have a waiting list of about 75, but you may still...
Is that Tuesday the 10th you're talking about?
Tuesday. Wozniak will join us. David Pogue is going to stop by, and Chris Breen. And if any of you would like to come, it'll be at 7 o'clock. Come at 6:30. The doors open at 6, I think. But if you're not there by 6:30, we're going to start giving your seats away. And I think there'll be a little bit to talk about then. I certainly hope so.
Yeah, it's going
to, maybe not.
That would be nice.
I want to thank the folks on AOL Radio and their podcast channel for broadcasting our show and providing us for the bandwidth to bring you this show. Our BitTorrent servers will be coming back up. In fact, they should be back up by the time this makes air. So we'll have audio and video, and it'll take a little while for me to get all of the stuff back over, though. I have to seed all of the old shows as well, but we'll get the new shows up right away. We've got a whole new dedicated server just for BitTorrent, and it's running very swift. So our final verdict on CES, are you all going to go next year?
Of course.
I am.
There's going to be 3 million square feet of exhibition space.
I'm going to go again next year the same way I went this year.
Me too. I'm going over to John's house to have some Bordeaux while the virtual CES. I think it's going to be more and more. I mean, look at it this time. I've never seen coverage like this online. I think there'll be less and less reason to go to CES every year. But as long as you guys slog it out, make sure you go.
There were some really good parties, most of which I missed. The Foo Fighters played for Motorola.
Wow.
Jeez.
Actually, I'm really pissed at Motorola's PR people. I had 3 of their phones and a couple other items on the show on Thursday. They didn't tell me the Foo Fighters were playing at their party Thursday night. They didn't tell me about the party.
Stevie Wonder on Friday night? Somebody told me the Who were playing Saturday night. Was that true?
That should have been Friday.
I don't think so.
There was a private event with Samsung with the Who. They were there. At least Pete Townsend and the other guy was there.
Wow. And I think the Black Crowes played for AMD, I believe.
Yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's getting to they're making money things, and the serious parties are back.
That must be. Yeah, that's a good sign the economy's coming around.
And Tom Cruise and Danny DeVito were there.
And Robert Williams was there.
And Justin Timberlake.
Robin Williams is apparently really, really out of control.
I heard he was very funny. Yeah, but they couldn't print any of it. Going to be on the stream? I mean, can we watch that on the stream, or do they cut that?
They wouldn't let us record it.
Wow.
They knew it was going to be squirrely.
I love it. Mensa boy.
Yeah, Roger actually is the one who has the scoop on that one. Roger Chang.
He called Larry Page Mensa boy. I like that. Back to you, Mensa boy. All right. Hey, thanks everybody. Another twit is in the can. We'll see you Tuesday. Patrick's plane.
Go, Patrick, you'll be glad to hear my car was not stolen. It was not stolen.
I was going to actually ask you whether or not it was stolen. So what happened? Did you tow it? Or?
No, I was one block off. That's all. I thought my car was one block closer than it really was.
I should have put this on the
Wait a minute. Where was that? Was that in Vegas or was that?
No, just last night I was coming home from out in the Mission District and I thought I could park my car one block closer. And there was the exact same little parking spot that was open with the same green little logo on the
What kind of car are you driving?
A Volvo C70.
Very popular with the thieves.
Oh yeah, those guys in the Mission, boy, those Volvos, they're high on their list.
I was driving a white Lexus coupe. Ooh. And it just disappeared.
Didn't she help you look for it there or no?
Who's she?
The white Lexus coupe.
The girl you were with.
Mindy? No, she didn't help me.
Mindy? Oh. Who's Mindy?
Who's that?
There's no one.
Is she from Japan?
No, she's not from Japan, and that's a great change of subject.
This is amazing.
I should have paid attention. I don't know what I'm going to do. Too much work. The problem is, there's no limit. My server's completely collapsed. So here's the deal. I'm just trying to get the thing up, but I have a hell of a time. What blue screens? Like, forget it. I'm killing you.
Round the horn.
Mindy? Oh. Who's Mindy?